love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're watching SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two of the early line right here on Sports Grid, giving you the edge. I'm Dane Martinez, got my main man, Kevin Walsh, as well. Kev, here in hour number two, we turn our attention to baseball, and I want to start. We heard it from Chris Welsh in the update with the St. Louis Cardinals, who had more positive tests. I think the number is now up to 17 when you talk about players and staff. I think we're in double digits in terms of the staff. And here's the thing. You know, we talked about it as it related to the Marlins, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Kev, the Cardinals have now played 5 games so far in their season. Their series right now with, I believe it's Pittsburgh, is being postponed. You know, you had front office people now saying, listen, they would have to fit in 55 games in something like 40 some odd days. And I just don't know mathematically if it is feasible. We had a similar conversation with the Marlins and we were like, it's not going to really matter. They ain't going to contend. They're playing 700 ball, for goodness sakes. And now with the Cardinals, not only is it the Cardinals, but all those games that may be sacrificed on their schedule, their opponents may also be, you know, fighting tooth and nail for playoff positioning, playoff entry, things like that. This Cardinals situation is starting to spiral, Kev.
I mean, just for perspective, they've played half the game of the Miami Marlins. I think that's all you really need to know about how far behind this team is. So I don't really know how they're going to approach this. You and I had a conversation a little bit pre-show about winning percentage.
Right.
Now, that is kind of, from what we looked up, it is tough to tell if that is an agreed-upon decision, that the winning percentage will determine who can potentially get final spots in the playoffs, or if that is something that Rob Manfred threw out casually that he thinks everybody will just be like, yeah, no problem. Because if it's the latter, that's not what's going to happen. That's not how this is going to go. Because if we get to the end of the season and everybody else has played their full slot of games, except teams with missing Cardinals games have those games left, you're not going to be able to get people to agree upon winning percentage. Whether it be the Cardinals themselves saying, look, we have a shot at getting into the playoffs, or teams behind the Cardinals saying, make them play. We might be able to get in. They're not going right to agree to that. And that's, by the way, almost an issue that Major League Baseball has to hope they have to figure out, Because again, this team has now not played since July. They've not played since July, missing four against Milwaukee, then five against Detroit, three against Chicago, and now what will likely be another three against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, listen, Kev, I think you make a great point, right? Especially that three against Chicago, right? Because the Cubs are standing at 10-3. They, in essence, you know, they are competing with teams like the Rockies and the Dodgers out west. They are competing with, call it the Braves out east, or maybe even the damn Miami Marlins for the top of the National League, right? And there is home field advantage in the, you know, in baseball. We are going to these other stadiums, right? I'm sure the Cubs would like to be in the friendly confines in the NL playoffs. And we don't know if that's going to be the case. And three games could be the difference between a one, a two, a three seed in the NL playoffs. As we once again welcome our radio audience from around the country here to get the edge on the grid. Kev, the edge is a very interesting conversation here in the National League playoffs, right? Because we know about the Marlins, they're not going to have their full complement of games, but their winning percentage looks good. Kev, with eight teams in the National League making the playoffs, they've said already all the second place teams will make it. And then two of the three third place teams will make it. So right now, as I look at the third place teams, Kev, it's the New York Mets at third in the East. They're at 7-9, two games below 500. As I look at the NL West, it's the San Diego Fathers. You know we love the dads. They're 9-7, two games over 500. So maybe the Padres are that first wild card, right? The seventh of eight teams. But then you got the Mets right now as it stands. By the way, more than a third, a quarter of the way through the season, right? Almost a third of the way through this, right? The Mets are at 7-9. Third place in the Central right now is the Cincinnati Reds at 7-9, two games below 500. Then you look at the St. Louis Cardinals, Kev. They've only played five games, but they're 2-3. That's a winning percentage real close to 7-9. You know what I mean? So absolutely, the Cardinals would have a legitimate beef, will be right there. If I'm the Reds, if I'm the Mets, if I'm the Padres, if I'm a bunch of other teams that are on the Cardinals schedule, this is an issue that has to be, we at least need to know what the answer is as we continue to slog through the season. How do you think this ultimately shakes out? If you think Rhett Manfred's throwing out trial balloons and it won't work, this is going to be a cluster F towards the end of the season, especially in the NL.
And let's just add this though, it does extend to the American League. The Tigers are in five right now, okay? But through winning percentage, it's second in that division. This does expand to the American League. And by the way, for the Cardinals, as much as the Tigers have been playing good baseball, but don't tell them that eight games against the Tigers and the Pirates won't matter. And I'll tell you this thing. Usually, you know, I want to give you a concrete answer. But I confidently can tell you, I don't know how this will work out. But the reason why I confidently say that is because I don't think they know. And that's why I don't feel bad about not knowing.
Yeah, I mean, your confidence in Major League Baseball has never been high, my friend. But I think they deserve that little jab from you. It's absolutely true. When we come back, though, there is a team that's saying, don't forget about us. We're going to win this division. And quite frankly, we should have maybe won the division in the last 2 years. We'll talk about who that is when we come back on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, everybody, to the early line right here on Sports Grid. Dane Martinez and my main man, Kevin Walsh, trying to give you the edge and put the fun and functional sports content at the same time. I mean, you deserve it. You woke up bright and early in the morning trying to get the edge. You might as well have a little bit of fun as well. And Kev, I don't know if you would consider it fun, but the Oakland A's probably thought it was fun to get a pound of flesh against the Houston Astros over the weekend. Now, let me set this up, because we know a lot of, we thought, like, would members of the Astros get plunked throughout the season? And this brawl did not start necessarily when a member of the Astros got plunked, but instead Ramon Laureano of the Oakland A's. And as it relates to the Astros, Kev, you know, when Joe Kelly drilled, you know, Altuve and Springer, whatever it was, a few weeks ago, and he got the suspension and back and forth and all that, I remember asking you, well, do the Dodgers, do the Yankees, do the Red Sox, because they got beat by a cheating Astros team, do they have more kind of beef with this squad? Do they have more right to be upset? And now I want to ask you, maybe the Oakland A's have the biggest right of all. Because as I go back in the standings, the Oakland A's in 2019 won 97 games, Kev. In 2018... they won 97 games. Yet we treat them similar to the Tampa Bay Rays on some level, right? As this little engine that could, this cute team, but that we're not taking seriously. This team won 97 games the last 2 years in a row. This team is on a win streak right now. This team is in first place in the AL West and wanted to try to plant a flag against the cheating division rivals that have beat them the last few years. I got no problem with it whatsoever if this is the way the AL West wants to police itself, because Major League Baseball failed to do so.
So, Laser Ramon gets hit three times in a three-game series,
he's
right?
He's losing machismo.
Right. He absolutely is. So, I would think, according to the baseball rules, I mean, surely we're going to have got pitchers on the Astros suspended now for 8 games, right? No, my expectation is probably Laser Ramon's going to miss a bunch of games, because baseball has shown themselves here. They're clowns. They're clowns. Because at the end of the day, Dane, what it always went back to is the debates that you and I had over confidence meters between basketball and baseball and bubbles and not bubbles and contract agreements is trust in the people at the top. And all baseball does repeatedly is show that you should have no trust in them. And that also is paired with how they handled all of this with the Astros. See, people in Oakland, people in LA, people in New York, people in Boston would not feel the need to take matters into their own hands had there actually been real punishments. But none of these guys have missed a game. None of them missed a game. Now, I'm sure some of them wish they would, Jose Altuve, sweep batting average, dude. I'm sure George Springer would maybe need a day off or two. Hey, dude, struggling. Hey, Alex Bregman, 219, not good, pal. Not good. Probably going to try and figure that out. Maybe the signs helped a little bit. Maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe they didn't. But they probably did. And they have continually decided to say, well, it's everybody else's fault. Well, this is what's going to happen. Because the Astros, and the main reason why people, in my, or at least me, why I can't stand that group, the cheating is one thing. But it was the laughing in people's
faces. Arrogance about
they
it.
They were being called out about it. Acting then as if it was everybody else but them. The complete joke and mockery that they made of this sport. And they've not learned their lesson. I mean, we heard post-game comments that Laureano, I mean, Laureano didn't get hit and charge the plate. No, he went to first. And then ran into the dugout of the Astros. Yeah, that's for a reason, okay? That's probably because people were jawing at him from that Astros bench. This is, to me, baseball trying to say, listen, guys, okay, no brawls, no throwing at people. This is an Astros issue. And it's obvious to everybody except Bobby Manfred.
Yeah, no, Kevin, I think you're absolutely right. This idea of, vigilante justice, shall we say, for lack of a better term, the game policing itself. As I said, as I threw it to you, it's because MLB failed to do so, right? So these teams are like, nah, let me get my shot. And honestly, I think we are forgetting about the Oakland Athletics as one of the best teams in Major League Baseball over the last 3 years, Kev. They are over the last 3 years, 97 wins 2 years ago, 97 wins last year. First place right now. We're blocked into the kind of best places of the playoffs and home field advantage and stuff like that in a wild card game, not the division winner. Why? Because of bang, bang, bang on a garbage can. And to your point, Kev, remember we talked about this, I believe, on Betting Around the Rim. It was like Steven Adams, I believe, who said there may be more technicals in the NBA because without fans, you can hear everything, right? You mentioned this, that Laureano goes into the dugout. Yesterday, James Paxton for the Yankees was cruising along for six innings, then got hit up with back-to-back home runs in the seventh. They pull him on his way back. He's looking back at the Rays bullpen because they're chirping at him. We know what happened over the weekend with Pat Bev chirping with Damian Lillard on the free throw line, right? With no fans here, you hear this a little bit more, and that may be part of what inspired Laureano to make a beeline for the Astros dugout. But with a couple of minutes here, I want to touch on this other point you made. Kevin, Jose Altuve is hitting 182 right now. George Springer is hitting 182 right now. Alex Bregman is hitting 219 right now. With the exception of Correa and Brantley, I would say, these Astros have experienced some offensive regression this season. Ev, what do you know?
Oh, man, they are the worst. They are just the worst. Now, here's the thing, okay? We have seen some star players in this league struggle. The last two NL MVPs are all batting, are both batting under 200.
That is fair. It's a small sample size.
But I'm not going to let facts get in the way of a good time. These boys, they need to retroactively remove Altuve's MVP. That World Series is a joke. They're all terrible. They probably should send him down to the minors. Now, look, none of that's real. But I'll tell you this. I think they should put a clause out there in baseball that if Altuve bats under 250 for the season, they take that MVP away because he didn't deserve it in the first place.
That is fair. Let me ask you a different kind of way, okay? Right now, garbage cans, buzzers, be damned. The Astros sit at 6-9. Kevin, with 15 games, a quarter of the season down, okay, Kev? They are 5.5 games back of these Oakland Athletics. I know there is still 45 games. We hope, fingers crossed, if the spiderweb of outbreak doesn't ever touch the AL West. But Kev, as I look at now at the AL West futures market, Kev, the Oakland A's are -155 favorites to win the AL West. The vaunted Houston Astros are now +165 to win the AL West. The A's have a 5.5 game lead, and they're now -155. I know you would love for that to be the outcome. Would you put money on it, Evan?
If you actually remember, Dan, when we went back to before they had made 8-game playoffs, I was saying, one of the big boys is probably going to miss the playoffs. There's too much variance for that not to happen. But I thought the Yankees and the Dodgers were both too good, and I said, look, take a shot on the Astros to miss the playoffs. And to be fair, right now, they'd miss the playoffs. Forget winning the West. They'd miss the playoffs. They're behind the Rangers for the second spot in the West. We've got a couple of teams in the East and a couple of teams in the Central.
Indians are a third place team that are above them. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. The Astros, forget the West. I don't know if they're going to be able to make this dent there. And it's because, offensive regression, they're still top 10 in runs scored. They're bottom 10 in runs allowed because Gerrit Cole plays in New York and Justin Verlander has only pitched one game.
Don't forget about that bullpen either, Kev. Remember, Ozuna on the injured list. Presley not really getting it done. Listen, we thought there was going to be a slog for the Astros, but we thought it would be them hearing a lot of the hate from the fans. Maybe there is just some regression and those players in the fraternity have it in from the Astros. They're getting the best effort from everybody. We go on to the field and talk about today's action on the diamond when we come back right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, welcome back in here on the Early Line. Kevin, we got a big-time slate of games, a lot of divisional matchups. And remember, as we said this, we're past the quarter pole. And, you know, every second-place team will make the playoffs this year. Some third-place teams, I mean, two-thirds of the third-place teams will make the playoffs. It sounds like the round-robin stage of the MLS's back tournament, for goodness sakes, getting everybody involved. We like the Oakland A's to be involved heavily, right, Kev? They see the Los Angeles Angels. And Kev, I was wrong on the damn Angels this year. There were some teams that I liked this year that I was excited by, that I think I am still with, that I am still excited by, the Dads being one of them, and we'll talk about them in a second. But I was on this Angels team. They stand at like 5-11. Okay, yeah, Mike Trout can hit a home run when he's a daddy, but the loss of Shohei Ohtani, it hasn't started to go just right for the Angels. They have new acquisition Julio Teheran on the hill. Manaea goes for these hot first place A's. The A's are minus 126. You willing to lay a quarter of juice on these streaking A's with Manaea on the hill?
Yeah, this is an interesting spot here. Sean Manaea has been pretty terrible to start this season. The expectation was for him to be better than certainly better than terrible. This is always a tough spot, though, Dane, right? I mean, are the A's going to win 10 in a row? It's a lot of games in a row, man. It's a lot of games in a row. Right, and the Angels just lost 3 in a row. Kind of the unstoppable force against the, very movable object in the Angels.
But this is the spot where you get value, right? You hop on the Angels here at a big number because, like you said, are they going to win 10 in a row?
This is the thing. Is it a big number? Like plus 110. Pitching matchup favors Oakland, playing much better baseball. Angels have been, of all the teams that we've looked at on a consistent base here, the most oddly priced team to me. I mean, they will play the Mariners, and you would think Derek Cole's on the mound. The way that the way that they are favored in some of these games. So I look at this, it's A's or pass, and you know what? Teams win 10 games in a row. It happens all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these A's are hot right now. Also, you know, coming off a brawl, it kind of galvanizes, unifies a team. I think they're really like, listen, we see this. We have a 5-game lead in the division. Let's win this series, put another division rival to bed, and keep the era of happy feelings going. You know what's crazy, though, Kev, as we look at the AL West also? I've mentioned it, and this, I think, deserves noting. The 8 playoff teams from the AL or the NL, right? It's not straight record. Okay, they said all second-place teams will qualify, all right? And then the best two, the third-place teams, right? So you could have a division where there's one really competitive team and, like, the fourth-place team is maybe at 500 or so. They would still miss out if a second-place team, someone in another division, was below 500. Because the second place team would qualify. I bring that up because this week, early on, you got the Texas Rangers and the Seattle Mariners playing, and Texas at 6-8, Seattle at 6-11. These guys are fighting for second place in that division, even though they are below 500. We know the Astros are right there as well, you know, under 500. But what do you think about this game? This is actually an important game in the AL West, knowing that the second place team will qualify. Done on the mound for Seattle. The Rangers answer with Kyle Gibson, and the Rangers are big, minus 180 favorites at home.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me in this game, and you're totally right, this is very big, and you wouldn't think it, but has there ever been an under 500 playoff team in Major League Baseball? I'd have to
not in baseball. No, never, because the wild card is a new thing too. You have to remember that.
Yeah,
a relatively new thing. And when it was one wild card, that team is definitely above 500.
Right?
Even when they expanded to two, right? You're still not going so far. This is a new format to get to the reaches of like the things we talk about in the NBA or the NFL. Could that last place team be around 500? This is new in baseball.
Right, and that's pretty interesting to think about. But this one is pretty easy for me, and this is going to be my consistent answer on any Rangers home game until it changes.
We've been
talking about this for a while. The Globe has had 8 games played in it thus far. It is 6-2 to the under. Just keep rolling with it. Like, pitcher's parks is a very real thing. It's a very real thing. And thus far, I remember, I think it was the second game in this stadium, George Kurtz was the one who had pointed out to me on a weekend edition of In Game Live, and we've been following it since. And also, look, considering yesterday, that game at the Globe was 7-3, went over for only the second time, you'd like to think that this one then comes back around to the under. Now, maybe this starts to get away from it. And again, this is a big thing here of how long have you been on it type of thing, right? You've been on it from the beginning. It's been good to you. You've got breathing room. You can keep rolling. If this is your first time, maybe you're a little bit more hesitant. But 6-2 is 6-2. That's still a good percentage. Maybe you play the whole series if you're new to it. Maybe you play the whole series that they're going to play here at the Globe against the Mariners under, and you hope you come out net positive. And what we've seen thus far, you will.
Yeah, I mean, listen, 6-2 to the under is a good little streak. I'll take something that's 75%. You know, we're looking for 55% here in the betting world. So when you see something like that, but you're right, Kev. You know, you want to get in early as soon as you can. But you're right, the game's a Globe Life. And it's contrary to popular wisdom, right? Because you think the ball flies out in the hot air at Texas. It used to do that in Arlington. Remember, Globe Life, though, with that retractable roof. Let's go over to the NL West, Kev. When, I don't know, I mean, is there a more surprising team in Major League Baseball this year than the damn Colorado Rockies? They lost yesterday, but they are still 11-4 in the penthouse in the NL West. And they start a series with Arizona, who occupies the basement in that division. Another kind of team, right? We knew there would be some teams, Kevin, that surprised, that got out to great starts. And now, with a quarter of the season done, the Rockies stand at 11-4. You're looking great for Rockies overs bets, but they got bigger fish to fry now, leading the division, seeing Arizona. And I know one thing in this series, or for any of the foreseeable future, they will not be up against Madison Bumgarner with these Diamondbacks, because it looks like they are shutting him down. Another veteran pitcher here going by the wayside in this COVID-shortened season.
Pitcher injuries are an issue. There is no two ways about it. But let me say, this Rockies game yesterday was actually pretty hilarious. So the first two games against the Mariners, they were dogs, okay? So it was very easy looking dog. Oh, God, that makes no sense. They're going to lose, aren't they? And it depends who you are, okay? For me, I was like, I'm scared off. I don't like it, right? But I was rolling with George Kurtz. He's like, I'm taking it. I don't care. They shouldn't be plus money. And they win both those games. And then yesterday, Marquez on the mound, pretty much their ace. They're like minus 150. And I was like, oh, that's the game they lose, isn't it? And they did. So the Rockies, the series against the Mariners was pretty hilarious here. But look, this Diamondback season, disastrous. I don't want to go that far. They've only played 16 games. But it's been bad. It's been bad. And a lot of it's because they can't beat the Padres. Okay, and all the things that are good for the Padres apparently is when they play the Diamondbacks. And Fernando Tatis. I mean, we'll talk about him in a sec. But the Rockies, man, look, they've been playing good ball. They've got another chance here to be up on a team. And this is the thing. You might look at this team a little bit from a schedule perspective and say, all right, three against the Mariners. You know, they had three against against Texas. But look, they took two off Oakland, all right? And they've won where they've needed to. This team has been impressive. And, they've now got a six-game stretch here all at home against the D-backs and the Rangers. There's a very real – before then, they have to play – four against the Astros, although they might be terrible, and then three against the Dodgers. It's a big spot here for the Rockies. It's a big spot, and I like them in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, if in this next two series, the Rockies can, just win both of those series, right? Go 4-2, continue to go above 500, again, above that high watermark, then guess what, Kev? They're going to make hay in the division as well. The reason why? Because the second and third place teams in these division are playing against each other, the Los Angeles Dodgers and my San Diego Fathers. And, I've been on the Padres. We've talked about them. We've had a little bit of fun with some of these young kids. But you mentioned it a little bit before. Fernando Tatis Jr. with his eighth home run over the weekend, the same amount as Aaron Judge, for goodness sakes. And think about all the love he's getting. Denilson Lament carried a no-no into the seventh yesterday. You know about Paddock. You know I like some of these young kids. They've got a test early this week against the Dodgers, right? Like if they split or something and Colorado, sweeps their matchup, they run away and hide. But one of these two teams, the Dodgers or the Padres, will also kind of solidify themselves potentially in a second place spot in this division. The Dodgers are big favorites at home tonight. They have Dustin May on the mound. They are laying 64 cents of juice at minus 164. The Padres respond back with Garrett Richards throwing the slab. What do you think about this one, Kev?
Yeah, that might be a little too high for me to back the Dodgers in this spot. This is a very, very big series here. But if you remember, these teams not that long ago met up for a three-game set. And how do we roll it, Dane? We said, okay, these are two good staffs, but these are two very, very good lineups. These are low numbers. Let's play them over. And we went 2-1. That's positive last time I checked. I say we roll it here again and play the over in this series. Garrett Richards has not been awesome. Dustin May's been pretty good. But eight for these two offenses, to me, that's workable. I'll play the over.
All right, fair enough. Sounds good. What do you think? We only got a minute left. We're going to talk about more games after the break. What do you think about this, though? Like, we're looking at matchups of third and fourth place teams. We're looking at teams that are below 500 because they may qualify for the playoffs. We talked about this. Remember with the trading deadline, Kev? How everyone's going to be in it? Well, here we are. In a week or two, who's selling, Kev? Nobody.
Yes, but the thing is, you might be like, you know what? Fine, I'll sell. Just because if there's more buyers, right, then there's more opportunity out there than to get more return on something that you wouldn't have expected would be able to draw that type of money. And plus, by the way, you can sell and still make the playoffs.
This is true. The Colorado Rockies could be buyers, ironically so. More games preview when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back here, everybody, to the Early Line. Dane Martinez and my main man, Kevin Walsh, helping us put the fun in functional sports content. Kev, a weekend can change a lot. If we were here at the end of last week, right, we were talking about the Minnesota Twins as a juggernaut whose offense could not be stopped, that were hitting home runs left and right, that were primed and ready to run away and hide in the AL Central. Well, they got a half-game lead. Why? Because they just got swept, Kev, by the Kansas City Royals, who bring themselves somehow back into contention. They're now only 3.5 games back. That is the nature of this condensed season. But I want to ask you about Minnesota, because they now have a series against the Brewers that they start today. And, you know, they got to get back up on the good foot. You would have thunk that they could do this. But now they're staring at a Milwaukee team that's right around 500 and at only one game below 500. They got to worry about being second place in that division and their own playoff prospects. How do you see these Minnesota Twins and the fact that they defecated the mattress getting swept by the Royals over the weekend?
Look at my face. This is the face of a man that told themselves, there's no way. And I told myself I'd stop telling myself that, but they had lost to the Pirates entering the series. They should take that first game. They don't. Okay. A bounce back game too. Oh, no. Jose Berrios, they won't get swept. Four in a row between the Pirates and the Royals. There's no way. They lost again. They lost again. Quite frankly, I find myself building a list here, Dane. A list of teams I won't touch. And the Twins have now joined the Cincinnati Reds as a team that I will not touch. I will tell you this, though, okay? There is something you can point to here with the Twins' struggles. And it is Josh Donaldson heading to the IL. Now, they lost a game where they scored six runs. They gave up nine to the Royals. It's not there. But the offense scored only two runs in two of those three games against the Kansas City Royals. The way they were mashing, you would actually think holding the Royals to 3 and 4 respectively, that they'd have a pretty good chance in those games. Josh Donaldson played wonderful baseball for the Atlanta Braves and was playing pretty well for the Minnesota Twins when he came over here. Very short price on the Minnesota Twins as road dogs to the Milwaukee Brewers, -104. It is a workable number, no doubt about it, okay? What also does stand out to me, Randy Dobnak and Adrian Hauser.
Is that total?
But, Dane, Dobnak, 0.6. Hauser, 0.75. I'm not going to lie to the people. I'm not a liar. There is a 0% chance I bet this game. Zero.
Even the over?
No, I won't do it. Why do these guys, why are their ERAs what it is? I'm not.
They've had one start, Kev, because it's been like one or two starts. That's why.
Dobnak's got three decisions.
But still. All right, but you talk about this confidence in this Minnesota offense. What if you take all that out and just go with the 8.5? I mean, the over is has some juice now, -115.
But the problem is they've not been hitting, the Twins.
Yeah.
They've not really been hitting. So I don't feel necessarily great about that. And I don't trust the Brewers. Because, by the way, the Brewers might actually be on that list, too, again, if they had lost to the Pirates. You know what? They're on the cusp. These might be two teams that I just don't trust. Man, I can't wait for the Twins and the Reds to meet up. I'll give you no analysis on those games. Don't even ask.
And that will happen as the Central plays the Central. As we keep it locked here in the AL Central, though, Kev. I mean, again, another situation where teams that are facing each other that are just around 500 in division with the second place and third place teams potentially qualifying for the playoffs, we have interesting matchups. And another one when the White Sox take on the Tigers in starter series here, Kev. Listen, the Tigers have won 3 in a row. They're 8-5, almost like the Marlins, a team we thought was an also-ran that's legitimately above 500, three games over, technically sitting in second place in this division. They have the White Sox, who are around 500 at 8-8 right there, although it's going a little bit of a different direction for them. The White Sox lost 2 in a row over the weekend. Meanwhile, the Tigers are hot right now, winning 3 in a row, maybe going in a little bit of opposite directions. But, and I can't believe I'm saying this, to stay above 500 gets you second place in the AL Central and a potential playoff bid. How do you see this series shaking out, Kev?
Yeah, look, the Tigers rule, man. I mean, they score. I mean, first of all, 17-13 in extras against the Pirates. That's 30. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Then they come back the next day, they put up 11. And then they provide two runs. But don't worry, that's plenty for their new ace, Scott Turnbull. Hey, what's going on? What in the
world? I actually had Turnbull for a small stretch on a fantasy team last year, so I know the kid. I like the kid, but you are right, relatively speaking. Yeah.
I will say this, though. Keuchel's been pretty good for this team. Keuchel went 7 strong in his last outing. I think -136 there for Dallas Keuchel. This is not, and that's the thing. They're 8-5. Like, the Tigers have played good baseball. Okay. Yeah. This is not a Tigers can't win 4 in a row. No, 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 no. They can. And they just might. But I think minus 136 is a price that it feels fair for the White Sox with Keuchel on the mound. They're also weirdly, by the way, I don't know if this matters, 6-2 on the road, the White Sox.
Okay, fair enough. Also, the Tigers will have Fulmer on the hill. Remember, they're using him as something of an opener right now, you know, in his starts because of his comeback from injury there. Let's go to the East, Kev, real quick, and specifically the NL East, all right, where, listen, the Braves just swept a doubleheader against the Philadelphia Phillies, right? On Sunday, they won, you know, Acuna going yard. Maybe they are getting back at it, but they are underdogs today, mostly because of the starting pitcher that the Phillies will send out. You know, there's a saying, Kev, momentum is the name of tomorrow's starting pitcher. So I don't know. Do you ride with the idea that the Braves swept the doubleheader yesterday, or do you ride with the fact that Aaron Nola is on the mound for the Phillies as a minus 156 favorite today?
Well, this is a tough spot because I like the Phillies coming into the year, right? I thought that they would be good. Getting swept in a home doubleheader, man, that is a tough sell. That's a tough sell. And this is a good Braves baseball team. I don't know if I like, because if I'm going to lay minus 156, I have to have real confidence. Okay. Now, Aaron Nola looked good his last start out against the Yankees, but I don't know if I have that kind of confidence in this Phillies team. I feel like I'd feel safer playing a total. Or maybe I'm just going to have to try and find parlay partners with the Phillies to lessen the juice and hope that's good enough here. I think the Phillies will win. I think they'll win, but they've not given me enough confidence to be laying that kind of juice.
All right, that is fair. Maybe we need to see a little bit more. Remember, when you say you think the Phillies will win, they have Aaron Nola on the hill. I think he struck out something like 12 Yankees in his last start. But again, you may want to see a little bit more. As I continue to look in that division, Kev, we've got underperforming teams linking up in this division as well. When the Washington Nationals go to Citi Field to take on the Mets. Now, Kev, you know, these Nationals, they've lost three in a row. The Mets are something on a little win streak. They have won two in a row. Both of these teams sit below 500. Kev, which one do you have more faith can kind of get back on the good foot? Corbin versus Mats today, the Nationals minus 126 favorites in this one.
Neither one of them. Are you crazy?
Well, absolutely. Yes,
I do have to pick one. Now, what's interesting here is we actually just very recently had this matchup of Corbin versus Mats, and it was a 5-3 win for the Nats in that game, and Mats did not look good, only pitched the three innings in that game here. But if I had to go with a side here, I think I actually might take the Mets at a little plus money at home. They got two wins against the Marlins, and I don't know if, can we say it's the Marlins? I don't know. Marlins are great. Like, those might be two fantastic wins. The Nationals look disastrous. And that was, to be fair, something, though, that you and I kind of liked coming into the year, this Nationals team to struggle.
Right.
In fact, yesterday's game getting suspended was a blessing for anybody that backed that Nationals team because they were not going to win that game. I think if I'm going to attack this game, though, I'll probably like to play the over because Mats has not been good. I think the Mets bats are waking up a bit. And I'll tell you this, you just have to have these feelings. Feels like a Pete Alonso home run day.
Ooh, that's an interesting, what, you just throwing out random dudes you think you're going to go yard?
I think now, let's see if Pete Alonso only still has one home run on the year. He's got to have more than that, right? No, because the thing is, the day that Pete Alonso hit that home run, okay, I said
a bomb, Fenway.
He's got two, okay. Yeah, he has two. So I didn't call the second one. That was, I'll tell a very, very quick story. Odell Beckham, I had bet on him to score a touchdown against the Jets. Scores the touchdown. Awesome.
Right.
The next game, it was against maybe like the Steelers. I don't know. It was another like prime time game. Like, first play of the game, scores the touchdown. I'm losing my mind. I'm like, I decide when he scores. Called it out to one. Touchdown prop loses. Broke my heart.
Ah, that sucks, man. You can't gloat until actually, you know, all the replays have been cast and the snap.
They run like this.
The next play.
What else are you supposed to do?
All scoring plays are reviewed, Kevin. Come on, you know that. You know. And listen, we just hope that there's some scoring plays that get reviewed in this NFL season. I do want to touch very briefly one last game as I look on the AL East. You got Tampa and Boston renewing their hostilities as well. We don't really have lines out for this one. Both of them doing all right, though. The Rays split a series with doubleheaders involved. Yankees over the weekend. Red Sox won their last time out. Again, even though the Red Sox are three games below 500, Kev, you know, you got a shot right here. Tampa standing in second right there at 500. If Boston can win this series, and I do believe, let me double check, I do believe this one is in Fenway, you know, they're right back in it. How do you see this series shaking out this week? I know we don't necessarily have lines just yet.
Yeah, I think the one thing you want to keep your eyes on here is a total. We've had in these Red Sox games where you would think games would fly over. In their last five, six total runs, five total runs, eight total runs, three total runs, eight total runs. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel pretty confident to say that those are all unders in those games. So that would be five straight for Boston. Going back to Fenway, I know that's a place people probably prefer playing overs, but maybe that gets baked into the line. Maybe they show you 9.5. Would they dare maybe, you know, pop up a 10? I know it's kind of a, you know, it'll feel like a hold your nose special with whoever Boston's going to put out there on the mound, but they've actually been an under team thus far.
All right, fair enough. There you have it. The slate of games here in Major League Baseball today. We would be remiss here on the early line if we didn't tip our cap, Kev, to Colin Morikawa, okay, going minus 13 at the PGA Championship. A lot of people thought maybe these California kids could get it done. Morikawa, of course, coming out of Cal Berkeley. The event was played in the Bay Area. I don't know if you saw this, Kev, but at one point yesterday on Sunday on the back nine, there were like seven golfers tied at like minus 10, all coming in. Morikawa then chips in from the fringe on one hole on the back nine, and then on the drivable par 4 16th, crushes one to within 10 feet of the cup, pours in the eagle putt. That gave him a little bit of working margin. Guys like Dustin Johnson, guys like Paul Casey, Bryson DeChambeau gave it a shot, but couldn't get it done. Now, at this point, Morikawa has more championships than missed cuts so far in his young career and has the same amount of majors as missed cuts in his young career. Again, here at the early line, we tip our cap to Colin Morikawa winning the first major of the year. We tie a nice, neat little bow up on this episode of the early line when we come back right here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the early line, giving you the edge. That's what we do here on Sports Grid all the time. So keep it locked here. You know, everything from game time decisions, FST, of course, our guy Pharrell Coast to Coast, and the morning after follows us right after this. And we got the opportunity to spend a couple of minutes with my homegirl, Arielle Epstein. Arielle, how you doing after the weekend?
I'm doing great, Dane. A little tired. I was with a bunch of friends who just love to wake up early. It was painful.
I hear you. Those summertime weekends, you know, what are you going to do? Let me ask you this, though. I don't know if you saw it, but the Oakland A's and the Houston Astros were not socially distancing when Laureano charges into the Astros dugout. What I want to ask you is this. Everyone thinks about, oh, the Dodgers should be pissed off at the Astros, the Yankees, you know, the Red Sox, because they lost out of World Series because of, you know, the garbage can and the banging and the scandal. Well, the Oakland A's, Ariel, won 97 games last year. They won 97 games the year before that. Shouldn't the Oakland A's maybe be at the front of the line with this kind of game policing themselves, vigilante justice? If I was an A's player or fan, I'd want my pound of flesh against the Astros, too.
I think that all athletes are against, obviously, cheating, especially when they feel that they did it the right way. I know somebody who plays in professional baseball who's friends with a lot of major leaguers. They said that these major leaguers really aren't messing around. So they are actually really mad at these Astros players. Yeah. I think it's showing in frustration on the field.
Ariel, let me ask you guys, though, what you have coming up. I know you had a nice poll going on about will there, won't there be the college football season. Right now, a lot of movement seemingly on this issue. Power Five players seem to be coming together.
We'll definitely be tracking college football. Joe Lisi, our Sports Grid college football analyst, will come on the show as well. And, of course, John Sheeran from the FanDuel Sportsbook will break down all of the weekend handles.
Sounds good, guys. Keep it locked on Sports Grid for all that. That's where you get the edge bright and early in the morning, 7 days a week. That's what we do here at Sports Grid. Ariel Epstein leads the way on the morning after. Up next. Have a great day, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's end of season sale is here and you can shop it from your couch. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair, like up to 50% off outdoor furniture and decor and up to 70% off area rugs, plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on Wayfair home finds in every style. And get it all with fast shipping on everything right to your door. From furniture to faucets, this is your last chance of the season to score huge deals at Wayfair. Don't let the final days of summer pass you by without shopping these end-of-season savings. So don't wait. Like summer, these savings won't last. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off everything home. Celebrate your holiday weekend with can't-miss savings before they run out. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.